Testament, where I left off kind of last week, and that is in Genesis chapter 45, talking about Joseph again. I had about 1/4 of the message whenever my time was run out about Joseph. Last week we had a title of it, Seeing Jesus Through Joseph. There's a lot of pictures in the Old Testament about salvation, a lot of pictures in the Bible. The Lord thought so much about salvation, He just put pictures all over the Bible that we wouldn't miss it. Anytime that you pick up your Bible and read it, you'll find there the message of salvation. On every page and every chapter of the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God has made it there that we might be able to see Jesus. So this morning, I like to title this message, Salvation Pictured Through Joseph Again. A little different title for this. But as I told you last week, you have some old albums at home, some old pictures of your grandfathers, your grandmothers, and on your aunts and some of your old family friends. Sometimes it's good to get these old photo albums out and go through it and just see the resemblance. Maybe you and these old pictures. If some of you is as old as I am, we didn't have all these phone cameras. We didn't have these moving cameras and all this other stuff. You took a picture with a flash shot or a little camera, and then you had to send them off. And anybody ever remember those days that you had to send your pictures off, and then you come back, you got your pictures, but then you got some negatives. Anybody know what that is? I know you younger bunch don't know a thing in the world what I'm talking about. But for you older ones to know what I'm talking about, then if you wanted to see what that negative, then you had to hold it up to the light to see what that picture was. Well, here in the Word of God, God has got a lot of snapshot negatives that we might be able to hold the picture up to the light of God's Word, and we see really who's in this picture. And this picture is in Jesus Christ. We know that Joseph, several times we got some snapshots of Joseph, we got snapshots of Isaac, we got snapshots of a lot of the Old Testament saints. If we hold them up to the light of God, then we can see Jesus Christ in these little snapshots. They negatives, you can't see the whole picture till you hold it up to the light, and really it comes into focus who these pictures are all about. So here is what we have here this hour, and also last week is just this negative that we hold up to the light of the Word of God, and we look at the life of Joseph, but we really see Jesus. And that's what the Word of God would like for us to do, is see Jesus. And I can assure you with this outline that God has really blessed my heart with, this is the way that anybody is ever saved. And Joseph is really steps in, and he is the picture of Jesus Christ. But we know that his brothers had a confrontation with him. We will have a confrontation with Christ before you're saved. Nobody's never saved unless they have a confrontation with him. And then conviction, as we go on down the line, every one of these is just exactly what happened to my life and what happened to your life if you're saved. And also, if you're going to be saved this morning and you're not saved this morning, this is a picture that you have to go through for salvation. There's no way of getting around any of these. A lot of people, I tell you today, it's an easy believism that we have today, and I tell you, I believe the problem with a lot of people today has their name on church rolls, that easy believism, and they have never have come to repentance. I'm telling you, without repentance, there are no salvation. They must be repentance. You must come just like Joseph's brother did and repent. And Joseph is this great man of God, and we thank him for it. We hold these negatives up now that we might see salvation. The real picture is Jesus Christ. And they seven of these snapshots of salvation, every one of these is very true, and every one of these contains in every one of our life. And if you witness to someone, this happens to them. This is the way that people come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Just exactly like his brothers, of all Joseph's brothers, came to know him as their Lord. He was their Lord. He was a ruler over Egypt. And they had to come to know him. And the same thing is the way that we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's read these verses of Scripture now. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5. Keep your Bibles open, because I'm going to try to take this whole chapter this morning and just talk to you about the sweetest thing in the Bible, and that is salvation. So many people know about Jesus Christ, but they have never accepted Jesus Christ because there's no change in their life. If there's no change in their life and they don't care about the things of God and the Word of God and the people of God and there's no change in their life, pray tell me what good is salvation to them. It's not salvation. They've never repented. They have a head knowledge of it. They know all the right words to say when you ask them that they're saved, and they'll tell you they're saved. But they are not saved. According to the Bible, they are not saved. They have to go through these seven steps for salvation takes place in their heart. Here it is this morning now, and we find out a little story now how that those 12 boys, or those 10 boys really, that's the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Well, the 10 of them, they have sold Joseph down into Egypt. He'd been in Egypt, and you know, he went into prison, and seemed like all everything bad happened to him, it could happen to him, but God lifted him up. Pharaoh understood that man, there was something different with him, and you know, after a while, he was second in command of all Pharaoh's house and all over Egypt. Very wealthy, rich man. And a family was in the land of Canaan at that time, so his father kept sending them down to Egypt to get corn because God had blessed Joseph in such a way and gave him the mind and the knowledge and direction to be able to keep all the corn and to harvest all of the land and keep it because the famine was 7 years. They would get hungry and they would go down and they would get corn and they would get food. It'd last a little while and they'd go back. And all the nations around were doing the same thing at that time. But after a while, their money ran out. And then what happened? They had to sell themselves into slavery to even just to eat. Well, we know the story about Joseph's brothers now had come down about their last time. They about run out of money to buy corn and grain for the family and then carry it back to the fathers, their wives, and their little ones they had in Canaan land. And we met last week, and remember we met last week that he was in the room there with his brothers, and his brother did not know him, but he knew his brothers all the time. So we meet now, and we find out that, first of all, there was a confrontation with Joseph, and we see that in Christ Jesus. Now in verse 1 it says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by, and he cried, causing every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Do my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brother, come near me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grievous nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for such a great, great message of salvation. Father, how I pray that we might hold up, Lord, these snapshots, that we might see Jesus so clear. And Father, these steps that, Lord, that you have gave us here for, Lord, for salvation, that we have to come in contact with, Lord. We have to see Jesus in each one of these. Now, Father, we pray if there's a person here this hour has never been saved. They've never walked down the church, Lord. They have never, Lord, come and said, I love you, Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sin. I pray the day would be the day. Father, there's some that needs to move their membership. Lord, there's some that just needs to come and pray on the altar. Father, for their family, for their loved ones, for this great time of the year and the season. Father, I pray that you might overshadow this church. Father, Lord, it says in the Bible, Lord, that the Holy Spirit kind of overshadowed this earth and like a chicken overshadowing his biddies and just kind of brood over them. Father, we pray that you might just brood over us this hour with the shadows, O God, of your presence here this hour. That each heart, Father, might feel the presence of the Lord, Father, because you're with us today. We want to thank you for this great privilege that we have this side of eternity. One more time, Father, to have here this day people to come in the name of Jesus Christ to worship you and to love you because you first loved us. We thank you and we praise you here this hour for your great name and for what you have been doing, what you're going to do this day, and Father, what you're going to do for us and our family in the future. We thank you and we praise you in the sweet, sweet name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We really know that God really wants to save us, everyone, so much. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every one of us. That means all my family. That means all your family and all your loved ones. That means the whole world, whosoever will. You know, we have just got through singing these beautiful songs, and we're talking about salvation, but so many times when we sing these songs about salvation, we sing these songs about praise to the Lord, it's kind of like walking in a park sometime. You've seen on television, if you hadn't been there yourself, maybe a park, and there'd be a line, you know, just an old line with water spewing out its mouth, maybe in one of these fountains. Maybe it's just a line. And in this line, you know, the water just keeps spewing out of its mouth and filling up maybe this great pool. You see, but that water coming out of the mouth of that line, all that water's coming out, but you know that line, it don't taste a bit of that water because that line is dead. It's not a living creature. You know, there's so many people that can come to church and they can hear the blessings of God. They can hear the water of life being presented to them. But you see, it's like this old dead line. All the water of life, they just sing these words and they sing these verses of scripture. But you see, they're dead without Jesus Christ. Just as dead as that old line that's in that park. I hope you understand the day and the reason that people are dead is because of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but there's a gift to God that you don't have to work for. That God will give you a gift. And that gift's eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that we all sin. Now, what can you do about your sin? There's nothing that you can do about your sin except bring them to Jesus Christ or either die in your sins this day. Now, we see on television from time to time and over in the war zone, over in the Persian Gulf area, we see that they have these suicide bombers, and also in other countries where they strap explosive to them and they blow themselves up. And you know, in 9/11, where they just flew these planes in the Trade Center and they just blew themselves up. In fact, their bodies just vaporized. A lot of time when they are strapped these bombs to themselves and they ignite these bombs, their body itself, it just vaporizes. They never find them again. They just vaporize their body. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think that done away with sin? Just because their body has been vaporized, did that do away with sin? Not on your life did it do away with sin. They still going to have to pay for their sins. They still going to be standing one day before Jesus Christ, and they're going to have to give account of what they just done, and not only that, but the sin in their life. Now, you can't do anything about your sin. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash your sins away. It's on the power. You see, there's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And the only thing that can blow sin out of a heart is the power of Jesus Christ's blood that's shed on Calvary's cross. Yes, things that keep people from being saved. Things that keep people from walking down. I wonder so many times, my goodness, it don't look like they would come now. My goodness, look like somebody be saved. Whenever the Spirit of God is dwelling with me, and I know that I've been filled with the Spirit of God. But you see, I just think everybody ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Surely now that person will come this day. But so many times, you know, there's some guards that keeps you from coming. You know, not too many weeks ago, we heard on television, probably also in the newspaper, there was 5 children that burnt to death down in Florida. Y'all remember that not long ago? 5. That was such a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy happened to that family. Well, I read on some research that I read on about that. And also, not many years ago, there was 5 other children that burnt to death in Florida. That was in Homestead, Florida. All 5 of those children burnt to death in Homestead, Florida. Not this time, I'm talking about on now several years ago. Well, the difference between this story was at that time in Homestead, there was a neighbor was able enough to get to that house and could have saved those kids according to what the newspaper said. But what kept him from saving those kids, they had bought 2 dogs for their protection. Those dogs was running around the yard, and they were protecting them from anybody coming in that yard. And those 2 vicious dogs kept that man from saving those children. They bought it for their good. They bought it for their protection, but they perished in the flames. I want to tell you today that people is building up. They're building up protection rather than walking down the aisle of a church. They have these guard dogs that guards their life, and one of them is pride. The guard dog is pride, and another is the guard dog of doubt and also criticism. A lot of times people won't come because they got a guard dog of criticism. People will talk about me And you know, they'll say, what has he done? Or what has she done? Reason they're walking down and asking Jesus Christ to save them. But they have this protection of guard dogs around them. I will not go down. They have this pride, you know, who, me going down there, a grown man, a grown lady, who, me going down in the position I have in the community and my family, me going down and, you know, and bowing down and tears coming from my eyes and crying out for God to save me. Who, me? No, I'll have a guard dog, and the guard dog is pride. And those same guard dogs, I'm going to tell you, if you keep them guard dogs with you, you're going to perish in the flame of hell. You will perish in the flame of hell because, you see, there are no remission without the shedding of blood. And you got to accept the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're going to perish in your sins. That is a terrible thing. But as we get back to the story, we find now that the famine was all across the land. All in Canaan, all except there in Egypt, they had plenty of food. Now, everybody in that known world that time had needed food. They had to come down to Egypt. And guess who they had to go to? I mean, Joseph had all the food. Everybody had to come to Egypt. In fact, in the latter chapter, you remember what I read? Oh, Pharaoh says, you go to Joseph if you want food, and whatsoever he says, ye do. Now, the bread of life we know is Jesus Christ. Now, we are in a famine. You take somebody here sitting in this building this day, your family member, loved ones, friends, wherever they may be, if they're not in this building today, they will outcry of Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus Christ. If they're lost, you see, they are in a famine. They are hungry. They're starving to death for the bread of life. They think they're living, but they're just like that old lion with water coming out of its mouth. They don't taste the water, and they don't taste the bread of life because they are dead in trespassing and sin. They think they're saved, but yet they are dead. Remember now what Satan will do to you. Now, if you are saved, remember if you are saved, Satan will start working from the time of your salvation. Satan will work on you and say, well, now, are you really saved? He will try his best to doubt, but make you doubt your salvation. That's the first thing Satan's going to do if you are saved. Then you have to work on it and find out the Word of God says, I'm saved, and I'm saved because of faith in Christ Jesus. And you tell old devil, I said, devil, if you don't believe I'm saved, here's a book, you read it for yourself. And that's the reason that we know that we are saved. He'll tell you to try to convince you that you are lost. Now, if he convinces you that you are lost when you're really saved, you really are no good for Christ. You're not going to witness to nobody else. You're not going to tell them to come to church. You're not going to do anything for the cause of Christ because you can't get your own self straightened out. You don't know where you're at to start with. That's what old Satan wants to do. But now, if you are lost, you're just as good, he says, as any of those people down there at Pleasant Hill. And you know what? That's absolutely the truth. If you're a lost person here today, you're just as good as anybody in here. And you're just good enough to go to a place called hell without Jesus Christ. You're just good enough to go to a place called hell without Jesus Christ. Because it's not your goodness. I'm going to tell you, it is your faith in Christ Jesus, what he done on Calvary's cross. Everybody, all the goodness of the world put in one little cup. I'm going to tell you, a sinner could drink it and still wouldn't save him. All the goodness of all mankind, of all the people, of all the world, of all the time, of all the history, of all the ages, all their goodness rolled together couldn't save one lost soul. So you think you're good. You think you're good today. Oh, there's that old dog comes out. And old Satan says, yeah, you just as good as they are. You got this own thing working out with you and God. You believe there's a God. I mean, them people out in church, they believe there's a God. Well, you believe there's a God also. I mean, you know, everybody believes in God, but only one thing different. God said, Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, you believe also in me. He says, you see, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father. You can't go to God except you come through Jesus Christ. That is the only way to be saved. Come through Jesus Christ. Well, Joseph and his brothers now, as you find out now, they're back in front of him now in that room. And now they did not know him, but he knew them. Verse 1 again, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried. He cried. Now, here's his brother now, and he cried. What a picture it is. Now, you think what his brothers had done to him, and you think what you have done to Jesus Christ. Now, he cried. Now, his brothers had hated him. They had despised him. They had rejected him. They had sold him. You know, that's a picture of what we have done to Jesus Christ. You know, it wasn't the Jews that put him on the cross. It weren't the Romans that put him on the cross. It weren't the high officials that put Jesus Christ on the cross. It was your sins and my sins that put Jesus Christ on the cross. I rejected him. It says in the Word of God, you know, that we was enemies with God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. That means that I was an enemy of God. I did not have any dealings with God. I believe that it was eternal God that created everything for all my life. Sometime I was big enough to know what it was all about. I believe there was eternal God. But you're not saved because you believe there's eternal God. I mean, all religions in the world believe there's eternal God. The Islamic faith believe there's an eternal God, but they don't believe in Jesus. Where it all gets off at is Jesus. You see, you got to believe in Jesus. Jesus is the way to God, and the only way to God. He is the way to God. His brothers hated him, so he made himself known to them as Jesus Christ made himself known to me. I was walking around minding my own business, doing my own thing, and Jesus Christ made himself real to me one day. Through the prayers of people and also through the witness of the power of the Word of God, he made himself known to him. Now, these seven snapshots of salvation, it's just in this negative picture now that we hold up a salvation, gives us, you know, some highlight in our salvation. First of all, there had to be a confrontation with Christ. And I had that, and you had that with Christ. Joseph, his brother, had to come to the same thing. It says there in verse 2, he wept aloud. Now, we have this great comparison he has here. Now, the heart of Joseph now this time, he loved his brothers. After all they had done to him, he loved them. But you know everything that you had done to Jesus Christ before you were saved, he still loved you? I mean, look what a scoundrel you was. Yeah, look what you done, how you lived your life. And Jesus Christ, still, you hated God. You done everything against God there was to do. And I did too. We all sinners. You kids, listen to this. We all sinners. We've done things against God. But he still loves us as Joseph loved his brother after everything they'd done to him. He loved his brothers after all they had done. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? He weeps over us. This is not the first time that Joseph wept over his brothers in chapter 42 last week. You know, it says in verse 7, Joseph knew them, and you see what? He knew them, but they didn't know him. In verse 24, he says, and you know what? He went out and he wept. Now, this time he wept in silent. Like Jesus Christ went to the garden, and he wept in silent. There was nobody with him, but he wept there. But that wasn't the first time that Jesus Christ has wept. You see, whenever he was riding in on Jerusalem on a donkey and he looked over the hill and he saw Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I'd like to gather you together like chickens that gathers of you, but you would not. You see, that was his own kind. That was his brothers. That was a Jewish nation that he was talking about, but they wouldn't have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And he wept then. And then you see, he wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ wept because he loved us so much. In the garden, before that Jesus Christ ever came into Jerusalem, he still wept. And it says the people, you know, he had to be kind of haughty with them there in verse 24 of that chapter to try to bring them to the place of desperation that they might see who he is. Now, the confrontations you have with Christ, Christ is going to bring you to a desperation that you know what, you can't do it yourself. Here it is, you can't save yourself, you can't be good enough. You can't, just by coming to church is not going to save you. By giving is not going to save you. By being good is not going to save you. There's no way that you can save yourself. You're going to have a confrontation with Christ. You got to come to the point there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. You got to see your own needs as they saw their needs. And only Joseph was the one who could meet their needs. You got to see your needs. And there's only Joseph that can meet your need. There's nobody else can meet your needs except Joseph. He's the one that had all the wealth, all the power of the known world. Jesus Christ got all the wealth, all the power they are, heaven and earth, and they are no more. I'm telling you, he is the great one, the desperation. People now is living high, wide, and handsome. Now, they really think, you know what, they're having a good time, and they don't have time for the things of God, and they don't have time for the people of God, and they got no interest in the Word of God. But I'm telling you, they don't have time for God. There's something desperate, desperate long. Jesus Christ was weeping over them. Now, back in our same chapter, chapter 45, in verse 3, it says, and Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brother could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They was troubled at his presence. Well, if you see that now, he was troubled. Why was he troubled? Well, he revealed himself to them. man, when he revealed himself to them, that was something very, very special. You know, whenever Jesus Christ revealed himself to you and he says, I am Joseph, you know what? Jesus Christ said that to me. I am Jesus Christ in the Word of God. No one else can save you but me. Confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the snapshot. After he reveals himself to you, a confrontation lets you know that you need Jesus Christ and there's nobody else that you can turn to. You can't turn to your wife. You can't turn to your husband, your mother, your father, your sister, and your brothers, and your kids. No one can help you. You've got to turn to Jesus Christ. Then we have the conviction by Jesus Christ. This conviction by Jesus Christ, and it says there in verse 3, and they were troubled at his presence. Now that word trouble there means a very terrifying, scary word. Speechless would be the word. They couldn't utter a word. You see, they had fell into the hands with someone who had all this power. I am Joseph. They knew now. And he had all the army. He had all absolute power that Jesus Christ had. He had all the power he needed over them. I am Jesus. I am Joseph. They was worthy absolutely of judgment. They knew that. They knew exactly what they had done to their brother. Now, you know, when you come to confrontation with Jesus Christ and you get under conviction of what you've done with Jesus Christ, when you read about what they've done to Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and you was there, do you see your face and that Roman soldier helped stick that spear into his side? Do you see yourself there with one that put those crown of thorns upon his head? Do you see the one there that lift up that sponge of vinegar when he said, I thirst? You was there at the cross. They was worthy of absolute judgment. I tell you what, you got to understand in your life that you are absolute worthy of the judgment that you have done. And he had power of death over them. Joseph had power of death over them. They were speechless. No wonder they was terrified, because conviction come over them that Joseph, the man I'm standing before right now, he's got power over my life and he's got power over life and death. Now, this no conversion without conviction. That's another thing that's wrong today in churches. There's no conversion without conviction. You got to be convicted of your sin and repent of your sin before there are conversion this day. You remember there was two people in Luke that was talking to Jesus Christ, was talking Luke chapter 18. There was a Pharisee and a publican. They was going down to the house to pray. We call it the old temple that time. They was going down there to pray. More this old Pharisee, more I'm glad I ain't like that old publican over there. I tithe and I go to church and I pray and I do this and I do that. I'm glad I ain't like that man. But you see, that old publican in verse 18, chapter 18 and verse 13, that old publican said, standing afar off, will not lift so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Man, I know what I deserve. I'm not good. And you see what happened? One went away dignified, and one went away justified. And there's a lot of people have these dogs protect them. They walk out of these doors dignified, but they don't walk out justified. I'm telling you, if you walk out today, I hope that you walk out justified. Snapshot number 3, we have now this conversion. After conviction, then it comes conversion. Now, and we find this in verse 4, the one I've read. And Joseph said unto his brother, come near me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Come near. Can you hear the Savior calling? Now, you see, if you come through these first two, then it says, he says for you to come. I want you to come near. Can you remember the time that you come near to Jesus Christ? Do you remember your confrontation with him, knowing that you was a sinner, lost and doomed and damned and on your way to hell? And by the very presence of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, you was put under conviction. You knew that you was a sinner. You knew what you'd done to Jesus Christ. And then the great word, it says, come. Oh, that great word says, come near to me. Come near to Jesus Christ. Come near. Hear my Savior calling. A lot of time we sing that song. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people won't never hear the Savior calling because they hadn't had a confrontation with Jesus Christ, and they never had a conviction with Jesus Christ, and they don't hear the Savior calling. Did you hear the Savior calling on Sunday morning when it says, come to church? Did you hear the Savior calling on Sunday night and Wednesday night? And whatever that God has called you to do for him and work through your life, do you hear the Savior calling? I can hear the Savior calling, it says. How great it is to know that. That is the great invitation that Jesus Christ says there with our conversion, is that great invitation. Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The great invitation. But he explains the invitation and explanation there in verse 5 of the same chapter I've just read. Now therefore be not grievous nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Don't be angry for what you've done towards Christ Jesus Christ. You didn't know no better. Father, forgive them, for they knew not what they done. Now you have to translate that for what you've done to Calvary's cross. To Calvary, whenever Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them. You see, for your sins, he said, you meant it bad for me. You meant it bad for me, but God took what you meant bad for me, and it was good for me. I am preserver of life. It says, where sin abound, grace does much more abound. And then verse 6, it said, he amplifies this a little bit more there in verse 6. For those 2 years have been the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earning, that means plowing, nor harvest time comes. Now you see what he said, now that you're going to come on into me now, because you see, they're under new management. They're under new management. They're under someone now that knows the future. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're coming under new management. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when you come to Christ, Jesus Christ, there will be a change in your life because you're under new management. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus Christ, bought with a high price, not with silver and gold, and not with things of animals, but you've been bought with a precious price. Now, as you think about this, what Joseph was telling his brothers, and verse 7, it also says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in this earth and to save your life with a great deliverance. Joseph, now, life had been preserved to deliver them. He was a savior. You under new management again, he says. Then we see that step 4. Now he commissions them. They understood this. They had a good time with Joseph. They understood everything he said now. Now the 4th thing of this snapshot is commission from Christ. Now Joseph commissioned his brothers to go and do something. Once you've come and been saved, now you're under commission to go and do something. Because you see, first of all, it's come and then it's go. You're under commission. You see this, it says in verse 8 and verse 13 on down that we're going to read, and that is commission from Christ. It says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father unto Pharaoh, and Lord over all house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasten you now and go. You hear that word? Go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And they shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and they shall be near me and to me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and their flock, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there I will nourish thee, and yet there 5 years of famine, least thou and thy household, and all that thou have come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and your eyes of my brother Benjamin, that he is in my mouth, and speak unto me. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that thy have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Now here's what I want you to do, he says. And they just explain what you do, what God has called you to do. Tell my father of my glory. You know, that's all that Jesus Christ has asked us to do. You go and tell my father of my glory that I got all this land. I got everything in Egypt. Hasten, he says, go. You know what? You know you can't even spell gospel unless you spell go. First come to me and then go. Do you know all Christians are missionary? We have a mission. We in the mission mode now. We should be in the mission mode of taking up mission. But you see, all Christians are missionary because the same thing that made you a Christian made you a missionary. It might not be in the same sense as everybody else, but you are a missionary. Joseph gave a name. And they go to their father and say, Joseph's got a name. He's got a name that's above every name. Has Jesus Christ been given a name that's above every name? The name of Jesus Christ, it says, you know, whatever tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. The same thing with Joseph and his brothers. The world is at Joseph's feet. Well, I will tell you right now, with all what's going on in the world today, the world is at the feet of Jesus Christ right now. I'm going to tell you, he says, commission them to come, then go. That's the way it's spelled. But then the fifth snapshot is a hurly long is communion with Christ. How long has it been since some of you has come to the Lord's Supper and just had communion with Him? Do you really have communion with Jesus Christ? They ought not to be a service. Every member of this church is saved ought to be with a time when we have communion. I'm telling you, if you ain't got nothing to remember, you don't need to come. If you ain't got nothing to remember, you don't need to come. But buddy, if you got something to remember, you need to be here. You need to be here if you got something to remember, because that's what it says for us to do. But you see, some people don't have anything to remember, so they don't need to take of the Lord's Supper because they don't have anything to remember. But this communion we have with Christ Jesus, verse 14 and verse 15, and he fell upon his neck, Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. Now he has forgiveness now for all of his brothers. They're promised to supply all their needs. Then we have this hugging, we have this kissing, and it's a picture of our communion with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saved us that we might have fellowship with him. If you're saved, if anybody's saved, you can't tell me that they don't want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, the one that saved them from the horrible death of hell. It's not nowhere in the Bible. It's contrary to any words in the Bible. If someone's saved and they don't want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, there's something definitely wrong with their what they call salvation. Forgiveness, communion. Jesus Christ saved us that we might have communion with him. Now, Joseph, now you think about this. For all those years, he's been away from his daddy. From all those years, now Joseph went through prison. And all those years, he went through all type of trouble. All those years, he hadn't saw his brothers. All those years, he hadn't heard a word from his brothers. All those years, he hadn't been able to sit down with a family of his father. All those years, he hadn't been able to hear those good words, son, I love you, from the father. All those years, Joseph was longing and longing and longing to hear from his brothers. And there at last, whenever God took him, and all those years been for his good, and we see there at last, it says his brothers talk with him. How long had it been since you talked with Jesus? All those years before I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He was there wanting to have fellowship with me. Longing to have fellowship with you sitting here today that you haven't accepted Jesus. All these years of your life, Jesus Christ has been running behind you. He's been mooing you and wooing you to try to come that you might have fellowship with him if you just give your sins to Jesus Christ and knowledge that you are a sinner and you need to be saved. And he said, I have all power in heaven and earth to forgive your sins. Would you come? And then the sweet, sweet fellowship that we have with our Lord after we have come to this communion with Christ Jesus. He says he talks with them. The picture there, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there no other have ever known. I cannot tell you what salvation is about for me. I cannot tell you, and you cannot tell someone else. If I could tell you this morning, if there's a person that's never been saved, sitting in these pews, and you've never been saved, and if I could give you my salvation for 5 minutes, I know I would never get it back, because you would not give it back. How sweet and how precious it is. But if we keep on seeing these snapshots, we got to see now the completion that we have through Christ Jesus. In verses 16 through 20, and the famine and the fame thereof we heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto my brethren, this do ye, lade your beast and go get you in the land of Canaan, and take your father and his household, and come unto me, and I will give you the goods of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this ye do, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt, and your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come, and regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. I like all that he said. Go get them, boys. Go get them. And then he said in verse 20, he said, but you don't worry about that stuff. You leave that stuff. You come to Jesus Christ, you leave your stuff behind. You leave that stuff because, see, you're coming into a land of plenty. And you have all the land of Egypt and all the land of heaven. stuff. You know what the Bible says? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things be added unto you. Leave your stuff at home. Regard not your stuff. Because why? Because we are complete in Christ Jesus. You don't need to bring any of that baggage from your old life. And verse 21 on down to 23. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way to call to all of them. He gave each man a change of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father. By the way, what does that tell us? The journey they went into. Don't worry about your stuff. I got everything sufficient to take care of you. Take care of them until you meet again. For all your journey now, go get them. And for their journey until they be back at my feet, I'm giving you enough to take care of you until we meet face to face. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, we're complete in him, because whenever he saved me, he gave me enough to be complete in him till I meet Jesus Christ face to face. And you have too. He says, I'll meet all your needs. Jesus Christ has promised you this. The journey of life is over. When the journey of life is over, one of these days I'll meet Jesus. And I won't have to worry, because he's going to take care of us. Now, you think you have some problems, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ said, I'll take care of you. But then you see, the last thing, as we continue on with Jesus, it's not over there. We continue on with Jesus Christ. In verse 24, so he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out of the way, you carry it out. And they went up out of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan to Joseph their father, and told them, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is a governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him of the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. They said, go get him. Tell him I'm alive. But Joseph did not believe. He did not believe until he saw these two wagons, or these several wagons. The gift that God has given us. You know, when we tell people about Jesus Christ, how about the gift that we have? The gift of salvation. Lost people will not believe the message. Your husband, your wife, your whatever the lost people might be, your friend, your neighbor, they will not believe the words I preach this hour unless they see the gift that God has gave me. The gift that God has given you, and that is the gift of salvation. Do you have the wagons full? Do you have the wagons full? It says, and after Israel said it, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is alive, yet alive. I will go, and I'll see him before I die. You see, these two old dogs, I want to bring back these two old dogs, you see, because old Jacob had these two old dogs. These two old dogs, you see, they was pride. I pride, I won't believe what they said. And then, you know what, there was that old criticism, how they're criticizing him. But you know what, when they saw the wagon loads of goods that Joseph had sent him, that wound it up. He said, I believe now, I believe. I'm going to tell you here this morning, if you've never walked down this aisle and say, Jesus Christ, I want to be saved, you got some protection dogs around you. It might be pride, or whatever it might be, doubt, or whatever it might be. But if you keep them dogs with you, I can assure you one thing, you will perish in the flames of hell. If you don't know what Christ Jesus said, here's the words, not of me, but these words of the Lord Jesus Christ as I have preached to you this morning. You carry the wagon load with you when you tell someone about Jesus Christ, and you share this message with them, and you just remember what Christ has done for you. And what Christ has done for you, he'll do for others. Now, can you hear your Savior calling? It will come now for a song of invitation that God has been so merciful to us for these few minutes. He has prepared your heart by the word of God. I've done all that I can do for God. Now it's up to you to do what God has called you to do. It may be come and just want to pray for someone. It might just want to come and just give your heart to Jesus Christ. But the day, I'm telling you, the day is the day of salvation. What a great day it is for someone to come down this aisle. So yeah, I know I can't live it. A lot of people have that old dog of doubt because I say, I can't live good enough. Meet everybody else in here. Then none of us can live good enough. It's not us that's living good enough. It's Christ Jesus in us that lives through us. And that's the only way anybody can live the Christian life is through Christ Jesus. None of us can live it on our own. Well, what if I fall? What if I fail? meet someone that's failed many, many times and look around on each side of you and you see other people that's failed many, many times. It's not about your falling. You fall down inside of Christ, but you'll never fall out of Christ if you come. I guarantee you. He says, I got the wisdom, I got the power, and I got the wealth, and I got all the provisions you need till we meet again face to face if you make this day the first day of your life as we stand this hour.